We live in a society in which commitment is really pretty minimal. Generally, the moment things get difficult, people are finding some way to get out of whatever commitment that they have. Certainly, we see this in marriages in which things start to get tense, as things start to get challenging. Let's separate, let's get a divorce. Certainly see it when we think about just commitments to churches, the moment that something isn't quite the way sometimes we want it, we start thinking about going somewhere else. And really, what we're going to be talking about this evening with faithfulness in many ways is the commitment to continue on the course even when it's hard. Think about in the marriage relationship, when people give their traditional vows to each other, it said things like for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. And being faithful meant being true even in the midst of those situations. And the scriptures would tell us that God is a faithful God. In many ways, the idea that God is faithful is tied with the truth we saw a couple of weeks ago that God is truthful. And that week, we talked about truthfulness from kind of three different aspects, that God is the true God, God speaks what is true, and God is the truth. Faithfulness sometimes is tied to it, but I wanted to focus a little bit more specifically on it. And that's it's that God proves to be true, that God shows himself to be true and reliable in all areas of life. Scriptures would say God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7, 9 to 11. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. When we say that God is faithful, we mean that God will always do what he has said he will do, that he will match up with his own character and promises. And men are very often not faithful. W. Tozer highlights some of the reasons why we are unfaithful. Men become unfaithful out of desire. We wanted something and our desires shift out of fear. We're now afraid to carry through or afraid to do something out of weakness. We don't have the ability. Loss of interest. We just don't care anymore. Or because of some strong influence from without. But obviously none of these forces can affect God in any way. God is not driven or bound by any of these things, and therefore he is a faithful God. As Psalm 108:4 says, your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Psalm 31:5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Psalm 89 opens with a really extended praise to God for his faithfulness. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord, God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all who are around him? O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. Psalm 40:11. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Deuteronomy 32:4. God is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness, without iniquity, just and upright is he. The faithfulness of God is so clear and evident that even when Jeremiah was in the midst of one of the most difficult times in the nation of Israel, a time in which in many ways it looked as if there was no hope and no kindness and no mercy, Yet Jeremiah could express in Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. The song we sang based on this verse, great is your faithfulness. Each day, every day, God is continually a merciful, loving, faithful God. And there's other ways we could think about this. I just want to highlight one aspect in Scripture, that when Scriptures talk about God being a rock, I think one of the truths it's emphasizing is His faithfulness, that He is reliable and steadfast. And so we see, for example, in 1 Samuel 2:2, the Lord, there is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 62, verse 2, He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. I want to take a little bit of time now to consider the ways in which God manifests His faithfulness. And first of all, Scripture would tell us that He is faithful to Himself. I think this is really what's being said in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. He always has to act in accordance with who He is, because He is the faithful God. Lord Erickson said this, because of His unlimited power and capability, He could never commit Himself to do something of which He would eventually prove incapable. God is faithful to Himself. And Jesus will manifest that when He serves as the faithful ruler. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. This was promised in Isaiah 42. A bruised reed He will not break, and a faintly burning wick He will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Isaiah 11:5, righteousness shall be the belt of His waist, and faithfulness the belt of His loins. Aren't there times in which you just wish the people who were in charge, you could count on them? You wish you could trust them. You wish they would be faithful. And one day, they will be, because Jesus will be in charge. Jesus will be ruling over this earth in righteousness and faithfulness. God is also faithful to preserve His people. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. Jesus, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You wonder sometimes, how will I know if I'll get to the end? How do I know that I will make it to be with God in heaven? And the answer is, because God is faithful. How can I make sure that I don't fall into sin? And the answer is, because God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you. It is not common to man. God is faithful. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. With the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That God is always ready to help us overcome our sin. We see the prayer that Paul gives at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you want? When Jesus comes, for you to be completely holy and blameless and standing before Him without sin. And how's that going to happen? Well, He who calls you is faithful, and He will surely do it. He has started this work in you, as Paul says in Philippians, and He will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithfully working to preserve His people. And one of the ways that He does that is by faithfully working to test His people. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Why is it that the psalmist was facing hardship and affliction? Well, he knew, as James would say, to count it joy. Because it's through these afflictions that the genuineness of your faith, as Peter says, is shown. And so God faithfully tests and refines his people, working out his greater purposes in their lives. God is faithful to answer prayer. Psalm 143, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. That when we come to God in prayer, one of the attributes that we cling to is this: he is faithful. That he will listen and hear, because he has said he will listen and hear. And so he will act in accordance with what he has said he will do. And God is faithful to forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're never going to find him in a foul mood. We're never going to find him in a situation in which he's not willing to forgive. He is faithful. And when we repent, when we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins. Probably one of the biggest emphases in Scripture is that God is faithful to keep his promises. Just look at three verses that highlight this truth. First, in Romans 3, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? And the answer is, by no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. God is faithful, and so what God has said he will do, he will do. And that's what the writer of Hebrews encourages us. Then to be steadfast and to hold on. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Now, why is he saying this? The people he's writing to in Hebrews are facing great difficulty. They're facing incredible challenges. And he's saying, don't lose heart. Don't fall back. Continue trusting in Christ. Continue serving Christ. He has promised you this. There is a hope that you have. Yes, it's not yours now, but it is sure and it is steadfast. And one day you will have it. Why? Because the one who promised is faithful. And that's what Sarah banked on. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. And not a little bit past the age, right? A long time past the age. Why? Because she considered him faithful who had promised. There was no logical, there was no natural reason for her to think that she would have a child. It was humanly impossible. But God said it would happen. And if he said it would happen, it will happen. And the one who promised is faithful. We can believe all of God's promises, because it's the faithful God who makes them. What does this mean for us? First, think back at the very first passage we looked at in Deuteronomy 7. It pointed to the fact that yes, God is a faithful God who commits steadfast love to 1,000 generations, but also repays to their faces those who hate him. And we recognize that God will faithfully judge sin. W. Tozer said this: not only does his word abound in illustrations of his fidelity in fulfilling his promises, but also records numerous examples of his faithfulness in making good his threatenings. Every stage of Israel's history exemplifies that solemn fact. So it was with individuals: Pharaoh, Korah, Achan, and a host of others are many proofs. Thus it will be with you. Unless you have fled, or today flee to Christ for refuge. The everlasting burning of the lake of fire will be your certain portion. God is faithful. Do not think that his threats are empty. His promises are true, but his warnings are also true. Flee to Christ for refuge. And if you've done that, then reflect his character by being faithful yourself. 1 Corinthians 4, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, that they match up with the truth of God's word and what he has said. And this is what the Spirit produces in those who are walking in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Mark Jones says this, and I add my affirmation to it. If faithful pastors were asked what they wish from church members, they would very quickly mention faithfulness. We do not require that people possess the power and devotion of David, the wisdom and wealth of Solomon, or the gifts and sanctification of Paul. We simply want our people to be faithful in their service of the King. Not brilliant, rich, or powerful, but faithful. We serve a faithful God, and so we as his followers should seek to be faithful followers. Third thing that we should do in response to God and his faithfulness is simply to praise him for his faithfulness. Psalm 40:10, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. I think one of our favorite times in the life of our church is when we have opportunities for people to share testimonies of ways in which God has demonstrated his faithfulness to them. And I hope that you don't just wait for that time, but that when God shows you his faithfulness, you tell other people that. You praise him for that. You let others know of ways in which he has shown himself to be faithful to you. You talk about it with your children, with your grandchildren. You mention it even with coworkers and neighbors, ways in which you serve a faithful God. Another way that we are called to respond to God in faithfulness is to be faithful in suffering. Think about the message we heard this last Sunday, the letter to the church at Smyrna. What were they called to do? Don't fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. For 10 days you'll have tribulation. What should you do? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. How can we do that? We can do that because Jesus was faithful. Because Jesus himself conquered the devil and death, thus proving his own faithfulness, Christians can be faithful in the midst of trials and persecutions. Such faithfulness would be utterly impossible apart from God showing his own faithfulness through Christ. So in light of the grand realities of the gospel, we can and must be faithful. Faithfulness that endures in all sorts of circumstances remains the path that leads to glory. As I said at the beginning, faithfulness really only manifests itself in the midst of difficulties and hardships. That's why we need to be faithful even unto death. We're not promised that life would be easy. There's no guarantee that we will avoid difficulties and challenges. But we can be faithful in the midst of them because we have a faithful high priest. Hebrews 2:17, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. What does it mean when it says that Jesus is a faithful high priest? I think John Owen is right when he says this. Christ's faithfulness in this verse consists in his exact, constant, careful consideration of all the concerns of the brothers under them their temptations and sufferings. This he is excited unto by his own experience of what it is to serve God in such a condition. Not his faithfulness then in general, whereby he discharged his whole office and accomplished the work committed unto him, but his constant care and condescension unto the wants and sorrows of his suffering and tempted brothers is here intended. That he is a faithful high priest, always looking over us, always watching out for us, always caring for us, always there to help us in our difficulties. And because this is the God we serve, we can trust him. He's a faithful God. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And Peter said, that's what Jesus did. Yes, we will be maligned. We will face injustice. And we won't always be able to fight these things in this life. And we're not called to fight. We're called to trust our souls to the faithful Creator, because we cannot ultimately defend ourselves. We can't ultimately sustain ourselves. But we have a faithful Creator who can and will protect and defend and sustain us. And so we need to keep doing what he's called us to do, continue to do good, continue to do what is right, continue to serve him, while trusting that he is a faithful God. John Feinberg, in talking about many verses in Scripture that speak of God's faithfulness, he said, most of them simply teach that God is dependable. That when we need him in time of trouble, he's there. As we reflect on the events of our lives, we can see God's hand upon us, for he has been a dependable help, a guardian, and a friend all along the way. He has never let us down. He's never lied to us. And he has always done what is in our best interest, even when it was hard to understand what he was doing or how what he did was really for our betterment. As A.W. Tozer says, God is true. His word of promise is sure. In all his relations with his people, God is faithful. He may be safely relied upon. No one ever yet really trusted him in vain. Apprehension of this blessed truth will preserve us from worry. Be full of care, to view our situation with dark forebodings, to anticipate the morrow with sad anxiety, is to reflect, I think, negatively upon the faithfulness of God. He who has cared for his child through all the years will not forsake him. You will not forsake him in old age. And he who has heard your prayers in the past will not refuse to supply your need in the present emergency. As the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have had. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. And Lord, we confess that far too often we are not faithful. And so we are thankful that you are faithful even to forgive our sins when we confess them, to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. You're faithful to continue to bring us afflictions and trials so that we might be made more like your Son. You're faithful to keep us from falling. you're faithful, that one day you will sanctify us completely. We will be without guilt and without blame as we stand before your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that we might trust you, we might praise you, we might seek to demonstrate and reflect your faithfulness in our lives. In a world in which there is so little faithfulness, may we stand out as children of the faithful God. We pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.